back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
And welcome back in the studio. Glad to be with you here on a Monday, December 7th. Of course, with it being a Monday edition, we have Rick Windham joining us in the studio. Rick, how was your weekend?
Generally uneventful, which is good.
Yep, nothing wrong with that. We now go to the KODY phone lines. We have Sean Jacobs from the National Weather Service office in North Platte joining us. Sean, good morning, and thanks for taking time for us once again, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Glad to have Sean joining us here on the phone lines this morning. And Sean, we know temperatures at the end of last work week and throughout the weekend were just beautiful. A little unseasonally warm for this time of the year, isn't it?
You betcha. You know, and we're going to pay for this. the weather likes to average out over a season, but we'll definitely take the warm weather while we can. In fact, just looking at the temperatures, we're going to stay well above average through Wednesday. Then we have a cold front that slides through on Thursday and cools us back down toward closer to normal for the end of the week and this coming weekend.
So that was the good news. What's the bad news?
Well, that's bad news is, unfortunately, precipitation looks very sparse at this point, at least for the next 2 weeks. We are watching the potential for maybe some light snow this weekend, though I think the better chances are up across more central and northeastern Nebraska. And I'll tell you what, you know, we're looking, drought is expanding across the state, and we need some moisture. So there's your bad news. And also, if you're thinking white Christmas, odds are not looking pretty good for white Christmas. We just don't see anything on the horizon that would suggest any measurable snowfall or snow on Christmas itself.
Is it the La Nina pattern that is the dry pattern? Typically a dry
pattern? Yeah, around here. So we look at a lot of teleconnections across the globe on the hemispheric and, of course, the global scale. And La Nina tends to be a driver for us, more than not, for warmer than normal conditions and drier than normal conditions in the fall and winter months and also spring months. And that's what's currently driving our climate or our weather right now. So that does have a hand in it. And, I keep going back. The last, 7-8 years, we've been above normal precipitation here in North Platte. So odds are, we are going to be drier than normal sooner than later, and it looks like that's what's being manifest right now with the climate as we are looking into drier conditions. I do want to point out this, and this I found interesting. I know a lot of folks remember 2012 around here. That was our last real significant time of drought, and me dealing with a lot of wildland firefighters, I know there was a lot of large fires in 2012. We did have a tornado outbreak in our area back in 2012. It was in April the 16th, if I remember correctly, the 15th, maybe the 12th. Huh. But that was the last time we were under a high-risk area for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes, and that was during a drought year. So you can still experience all types of weather in drought years, but when you average them out, it's dry and generally warmer than.
And wasn't 2012 also the year we had the big flood come down the South Platte River?
I'm trying to remember the years come together. I know 2013, that was when Colorado flooded on the Front Range in September, and we had all that water.
That must have been what I'm thinking, 13.
Yeah, and I think 2011 was the North Platte River with all the snow melt that came down through Wyoming and through Colorado, because it was a very rapid snow melt on the onset, and just too much water came down. But that's why we're Nebraskans. We prepare for everything, but at least we know that this week we can just be looking forward to the warmer than average temperatures through Wednesday. I've been down a little bit with some sickness, and I took advantage of yesterday and and went out and was able to hang a couple strings of lights on my house.
Good.
And it was nice to do so in just a sweatshirt. So.
That's one thing that's nice about these warmer temperatures is normally this time of the year we wouldn't be able to get the lights hung without having to be all bundled up.
That is correct. You know, and if we're lucky, you know, if it stays a little warmer than normal, then when it's time to take all the Christmas decorations down, you know, in early January, you know, we can do that.
Yeah, so, might not freeze. Now, Sean, you mentioned chances of a white Christmas are not looking too good. Is it just looking to be dry and kind of warm throughout the month of December then, according to your early predictions?
It really is. You know, we're looking at the large scale, and I don't see anything, any major system on the horizon looks to impact us. Now, we define a white Christmas as an inch of snow on the ground or accumulating snow that's falling at the time, you know, on Christmas. And there still could be a storm system. It's just still way too far out to determine some of those smaller scale systems.
Sure.
If you just look at the rest of the month, it does look drier than normal and warmer than normal through the end of the month. Not to say that we won't have some cold periods in there, but you know, average it out, it does look drier and warmer. So that doesn't bode well for a white Christmas. Next week, I don't have the percentages handy with me right now, but I'll tell you the percentages for, you know, how many times we've had a white Christmas in North Platte, which
okay.
would be kind of fun to see. So
we'll look forward to having that information next week from you then. And looking at the forecast, you did mention a few minutes ago, Sean, that chances of some moisture coming at the end of this work week, although those chances are slight, and you said for the most part that's not going to be throughout the North Platte area.
Yeah, right now it looks like more targeting north central northeastern Nebraska, so O'Neill, Holt County, and points north and east. But, you know, there's still the envelope of possibility still places some of the potential precipitation in the North Platte. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed and, you know, we'll take whatever we can get.
But we will have some cooler temperatures at the end of the work week, it sounds like?
Definitely. We're going to see our highs trending from the 60s, starting on Thursday down to, you know, back into the 30s and possibly lower 40s. So, you know, it's going to be a 20, 25-degree temperature drop. You'll definitely notice it, and it'll be back closer to normal. And that's because a cold front will come through through early on Thursday.
Sean, is there anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
You know, not at this time. Everything just we'll keep looking for precipitation and, you know, just keep watching the skies. But we'll do want to say that we are looking at our spring spotter training starting up in the new year. So, you know, check back if you love severe weather or would like to learn more. Start watching or checking out our website, and we'll start advertising those dates for when we'll be offering those classes.
Awesome.
Very good.
Well, Sean, as always, we appreciate the time. Glad that you're back in good health, and we look forward to talking to you next Monday, sir.
You betcha. I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sean. Again, Sean Jacobs from the National Weather Service office here in North Platte, the warning coordinating meteorologist with the National Weather Service office here in North Platte. 8:42, we're going to step aside here for a quick update with Rush Limbaugh. Coming up next, we'll crack open the KODY phone lines. Have that number handy at 308-532-8221.
In a Washington Post op-ed, Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution asks if San Francisco is trying to hasten its own demise. He concludes that they are. He says the city looks like a ghost town because so many people are working remotely. The office vacancy rate's over 14%. The once red-hot real estate market is tanking. Rents have dropped by almost 25%, and there are twice as many homes for sale today compared to a year ago. It's about to get worse, too. On Election Day, San Francisco voters approved a proposition known as the overpaid executive tax. It's a surcharge tax for companies who pay their top people over 100 times what the typical worker makes. This tax was tried in Portland, Oregon. It was a disaster. Corporations did not lower executive salaries. They cut loose workers at the lower end of the spectrum and replaced them with independent contractors. They always find a workaround. This week, San Francisco's authoritarian Board of Supervisors piled on another set of restrictions on top of the harsh COVID rules. If you live in an apartment, you cannot smoke any tobacco product anywhere in your home, period. However, smoking a doobie a marijuana joint at home. Well, that's fine. That's okay. People used to leave their heart in San Francisco. Today, you might lose your mind there.